Welcome to Jury Duty. I'm your host, Chris Terracone. Season 8 of Jury Duty explores the trial of Alex Murdoch, a member of one of the most powerful families in South Carolina, who is accused of murdering his son Paul and his wife Maggie, with the purpose of covering up a multitude of alleged crimes, including fraud and homicide. In our last episode, we concluded our review of the direct examination of SLED agent Sarah Zapata, and began our look at the defense's cross-examination of the witness. In this installment, we conclude our review of the testimony of Agent Zapata. That's all coming up right after the break.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
It is the afternoon of February 13th, 2023, day 14 of the trial of Alex Murdoch. As we concluded our last episode, defense attorney Philip Barber began his cross-examination of Sarah Zapata by asking the witness about the potential sources of unknown male DNA discovered under Maggie Murdoch's fingernails. Agent Zapata responded that it was impossible to speculate on the source of that DNA, and stated that Ms. Murdoch could have picked it up simply by touching an object where that DNA was present. As we begin this installment, defense attorney Barber continues his questioning by asking Agent Zapata to clarify the timeline of her testing the shirt that the defendant wore on the night of the murders.
Do you remember when you did these, when you reported these DNA results? Do you know the date?
Are you asking specifically for
the date that you reported your results for the shirt, for DNA?
For the shirt, there were two reports that had the shirt because there were two times that it was processed originally. The first report, which had the results for item 19.2, was June 25th, 2021. And then the second report was originally issued July 25th, 2021.
July 25th, 2021. On July 26th, the day after, did you attend a meeting with present was Major Huey. I apologize if I'm not saying the names correctly. Captain Riley, Captain Reinhart, Lieutenant Wallace, Lieutenant Shank, Lieutenant Hash, yourself, and Mindy Worley. Did you attend that meeting?
Yes, I did.
And was the purpose of that meeting to discuss the DNA report?
Yes, it was to explain the results of my report.
Were you at that meeting asked to perform hematrace tests?
Not at that meeting, no.
Okay. When were you asked to perform hematrace tests on the shirt?
On August 10th, 2021.
And is that the day that you performed them?
Yes.
And I think you previously testified your test results were negative?
Correct.
To perform the test, did you make smaller cuttings from the larger shirt cuttings?
Yes. So I took the cuttings, opened them, and then cut small portions of the larger cuttings to test for hematrace, and then place those cuttings into a solution, and then that solution is added to the individual card for that individual cutting. So there's a test performed for each item.
Show you a series of photos, if I may. Ask if you can identify them. This is what's been previously marked as Defense Exhibit 96. You recognize that?
As Philip Barber hands the witness a document, Prosecutor Savannah Goud rises to object, informing Judge Clifton Newman that the state has not yet seen that document. After Barber shows the exhibit to Goud, Agent Zapata answers the question.
Yes.
And that's one of the cuttings after you made the small cuttings?
Can I see the other? It's hard to tell which was before, which was after without the other cuttings, because there's cuttings for DNA, and then I cut along the cuttings for DNA for the hematrace test.
Philip Barber takes a moment to hand a number of exhibits to the witness before moving on to his next set of questions.
So now that you've now recalled, do you recognize them?
Yes.
the larger cuttings with the smaller cuttings made after the hematrace test?
I know that we took photos before the cutting was taken for hematrace and after. It's hard to tell from these pictures if it was before or after, but they were taken during the hematrace processing of the shirt.
Barbara and an aide for the defense team then display the exhibits on the monitor for the jury, seeking to use the display to help the jurors track Agent Zapata's results.
So in this one, it looks like you made 5 cuttings, is that correct?
So some of these cuttings were originally taken for DNA. I tried when I cut for hematrace to also cut along where the cuttings were taken for DNA.
Okay, so but there's 5 there, right?
Yes.
And let's see if we can count how many are here. Were you able to count how many?
It looks like 14. It's a little hard to see the very small ones. It's hard to tell. It looks like 14.
Okay. Next exhibit here.
8.
Next one.
7.
Next.
9.
The next one.
7.
Next exhibit.
Looks like 9. It's again, it's a little hard to see.
Yeah. The next exhibit.
4.
Next one.
9.
Next one.
2.
Those are all of them. So now we'll just add these numbers up. So what's the total?
74.
74. And in your test, none of these did you detect human blood with hematrix. Is that correct?
For all those cuttings for the different items, they were all put together into that tube for that item. And for all of those tests, the result was negative.
So we're 0 for 74 detecting human blood here.
The result was negative.
Moving on then, on August 16th, did you attend a meeting to discuss DNA results or outstanding DNA reports?
Yes.
Were these results discussed at that meeting?
For that meeting, we were discussing the items that were that still had pending DNA assignments, so that they had submitted for DNA analysis, and we were waiting to see if that analysis was still required. There's nothing in the discussion about those results being discussed. I don't remember anything else about that meeting.
Let me ask this. Who asked you to perform the hematrace test on August 10th?
There was the request for the hematrace result was relayed to me by my supervisor.
And who's your supervisor?
Lieutenant Laura Hash.
And on August 10th, did you relay to Lieutenant Hash the results of your tests?
She was actually the reviewer of my hematrace test. So when we perform card tests, there needs to be a second analyst to review the card test and sign off on the review of the test. So she was present when the test was performed.
In 2021, were you ever informed that SLED was seeking a blood spatter analysis of the shirt?
I was told after the shirt had been sent that it was going to be sent for blood spatter analysis, but I don't know anything about how that came about or where it was being sent to. That was once I was done with my analysis.
When you say after the shirt was sent, what do you mean by that?
Or however they did the blood spatter analysis. I know that there is documentation that the shirt was being taken for that in the narrative, but I don't know how that came about.
And at that time, I guess I'm a little confused, were you aware at that time that it was being sent for blood spatter analysis?
Not until it was already sent.
And by sent, you mean that somebody had asked for the report to be made or that the shirt had physically been sent somewhere?
I don't know anything about how the blood spatter analysis came to be. I don't know what they required for that analysis.
Could you just tell me a date the first time you learned that there was going to be a blood spatter analysis? Even a month if you don't know the exact date?
I really don't know because it didn't have anything to do with me or my analysis.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
defense attorney Philip Barber continues his cross-examination of SLED agent Sarah Zapata by asking about the results of hematrace tests conducted on various items of evidence. The hematrace test is used to determine if a bloodstain is of human origin.
When was the first time your hematrace test appeared on a report that you issued?
The report with the hematrace results was issued on November 10th, 2021.
Were the results for the blue raincoat also on that report?
Yes, they were.
Did you discuss the hematrace test results with anyone working on this case?
I don't think that I discussed it with anybody else. I don't think so. I would have discussed it with the person who reviewed the results.
Did you discuss the blue raincoat results with anyone investigating the case, any agents on the investigative side?
I know for the raincoat, I was asked to give an update on when the results would be issued. Once I developed the DNA profiles for those items, the DNA profiles were technically reviewed, and then I was able to make a phone call to relay those results, and I was able to speak to Agent Gent and just give him the preliminary results for the items from the raincoat.
But you did not discuss the hematrace results that are on the same report?
According to my notes, I only updated him on the findings from the raincoat.
Let's move ahead then to March 22nd of 2022. I just said that you were aware at some point that a blood spatter report had been requested. Were you aware in March that one had been received claiming that there was high velocity impacts blood spatter on the shirt? Were you aware of that report?
I didn't really know anything about the report or the results of the report.
So you weren't aware of it in March 2022, is that correct?
I really do not remember when I was told or what. I know that I didn't really get much information about the report or when.
Well, moving in a little further then, on April 11, 2022, the Attorney General requested a meeting that occurred on April 20th, you know, 9 days later, to discuss reports.
Yes.
And in preparing for that meeting on the 20th, did you access your November 10 report on April 18 and April 19, a couple days before that meeting?
I mean, did I look at the report in preparation
yes.
for the meeting? I would have reviewed the reports in preparation for the meeting, yes.
At that meeting, was there any discussion of blood spatter?
I do not remember.
This is the first meeting with the AG's office after the report is received saying that there is blood spatter.
But that had nothing to do with my testing, so I don't really know.
Did you notice that 6 days after that meeting, there were media reports that high-velocity impact spatter had been found in Mr. Murdaugh's T-shirt?
I tried very hard to not look at any media reports involving this case at all, so I tried to avoid that information.
At some point, did someone come to you and ask about the hematrace test results that you performed that say no human blood? 0 for 74 in relation to this report, seeing that there was blood spatter that had to come from a gunshot on the T-shirt.
At some point, I know that we discussed the hematrace results on the shirt.
When was that?
It probably would have been in the meeting where we went over all the results of my reports. I know that we had several meetings to discuss the results of my reports.
Any idea of when that was?
It does appear that that April meeting was the first meeting after that report was issued, where we had a discussion about the reports.
So it would have been that meeting that had been discussed, your hematrace test results and the blood spatter report discussed in the same meeting?
Possibly, but I don't know that. I also wasn't present for all of the meetings all of the time. I know there were some times when there were meetings with specific individuals first, and then I would come later, so I don't remember if there was specific discussion of blood spatter there when I was present.
Defense Attorney Barber hands Agent Zapata a document.
Handing you what's been marked as Defendant's Exhibit 95, do you recognize that?
Yes.
What is it?
It is a memorandum to the file for this case.
And you're the author of this memorandum?
Yes.
And it concerns hematrace and it relates to this case?
Yes, I was asked to do some research into the scientific literature to see if there was information about hematrace and potential effects of other kinds of testing prior to hematrace. as well as list some reasons for possible negative hemotrace results.
Were you asked to write this memo?
Yes.
Who asked you to do this?
Creighton Waters asked for me to do this research and then summarize my findings in the form of a memo.
Did he tell you why he was asking you to do this?
Because there were negative hemotrace results in this case from the shirt. He wanted just some more information on negative hemotrace results.
Was it specifically because of the report saying high velocity impact spatter?
I don't know that.
Was that discussed when he asked you to do this?
We discussed the negative hemotrace results on the shirt.
Did you discuss a report by a man named Tom Double?
I don't think we specifically discussed the results of that report because I don't know. I'm not a blood spatter expert. I don't know anything about what that report would say or what the findings in that report would mean. I just know that there was a report, and then I was asked to give some more information on hemotrace.
Were you aware of a report by Tom Bevel specifically regarding use of hemotrace on things that had been previously tested with LCV?
I was made aware of a report like that after I had already, obviously it was after my analysis had been complete. I don't remember specifically if it was before or after I was asked to write this memo.
And you attached some articles to this memo, correct?
Yes, I attached the articles that I found regarding hemotrace so that all that information would be present in the memo.
And this first article from the Australian Journal of Forensic Sciences, am I characterizing it correctly to say that it reports that hemotrace tests are generally effective after treatment with LCVs?
For that article, there were many tests performed comparing testing hemotrace after the use of several other kinds of tests beforehand. Their results were positive following LCV for 17 out of 17 tests with a blood dilution of 1 to 10. And for 16 out of 18 tests with a blood dilution of 1 to 100.
So it usually works, hemotrace, when you're testing something that had a presumptive test with LCV.
Right. It shows that did work the majority of the time that they tested it, but they did obtain two negative results as well.
Out of how many total?
Out of 17 plus 18.
Okay. So it didn't work 2 out of 18 times?
Of the 35 times they tested it, they obtained a positive result 33% of the time, according to the article.
I'm sorry.
33 times, sorry, according to the article.
What's the percentage?
It looks like 94%.
94%. Mm-hmm. And here we're at 0 for 74. Mm-hmm. On the next article, on page 4 of the next article, there's a little chart. You see what I'm talking about? Am I reading this chart correctly to understand it to mean that hemotrace detects blood at dilution levels in which LCV would not detect blood?
According to this study, which was performed by the Michigan State Police, they were able to obtain positive hemotrace results for some samples that were negative LCV.
So the hemotrace test is more sensitive than LCV, at least according to this study, correct?
It appears to be. According to this study, LCV is not a chemical that I use in the DNA casework department. It is a test that's performed by the crime scene unit, so they would be the best people to answer questions about sensitivity of that test.
According to this, you would get a positive result even if you couldn't see anything with LCV. According to the previous study, after LCV, 94%, and here we're 0 for 74. Is it fair to say that there's no human blood on the t-shirt?
Like I said earlier, the test that I performed was negative for the presence of human blood.
Quick call up 32. I just believe this is the name of a fishing boat, and there's a fishing boat on the back of the t-shirt. Were you aware when doing this, this is a fishing t-shirt?
No.
Have you ever gaffed a fish?
I don't even know what that word means, no.
Well, let me ask it this way then. If someone were doing something while wearing this t-shirt that would cause non-human blood to spray onto the shirt, could that be a reason why something would have a misting pattern with LCV and test negative for hemotrace, you know, 0 for 74?
I can't really answer anything about the misting pattern because that is not my area of expertise, but one possibility for a negative hemotrace test is that the blood present on the item is not human blood, because Hematrace is a confirmatory test for the presence of human blood. It also reacts to ferret blood and higher primate blood.
Doesn't react to fish blood, does it?
No.
Did you attend an evidence viewing meeting on January 5th of this year?
Yes, I did.
Was blood spatter discussed at that meeting?
I know that we talked about the results of the shirt. As far as blood spatter, again, I'm not a blood spatter analyst, so I cannot give any information about blood spatter on an item of clothing or on anything.
Specifically, were reports by Tom Bevel discussed at that meeting?
I really do not recall.
Even though it was just this month, well, last month, time's long.
Yeah, it's hard to remember specifics.
Reports by a Deputy Kinsey discussed regarding blood spatter.
I don't recall that name at all.
Was the T-shirt discussed?
I don't remember the exact items that were discussed specifically.
It looks like there's been a lot of work done on this T-shirt.
Yes.
And that's fair, right?
Yes.
Put a lot of work into this T-shirt. There were the little cuttings in the beginning, the small ones in the hem, right? And then those are tested with
phenolphthalein.
Right, and then DNA tested. All of these large cuttings, we haven't even gone over, there were a couple in the back of the shirt as well. These small cuttings, then you went back and made more small cuttings for the Hematrace, right? Lots of work, and then you're doing this big memo about Hematrace because of the shirt, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of work, and this is going on from a period of June 21, the month of the murders. It looks like all the way up until a month before trial. Is that fair?
Well, my analysis was complete before that, but...
I mean, you're doing this memo to file because of the shirt results, correct?
Yes, correct.
So, I mean, for all this work on this shirt, appears that the theory was that he was wearing that shirt that night.
Prosecutor Goud objects, and Judge Newman sustains the objection. Defense Attorney Barber then changes course.
So ask maybe this. The meetings that you've attended where the shirt was discussed, blood spatter was perhaps discussed, was there ever any discussion of a blue button-down shirt?
Not that I recall.
I know you said it's not your area, but are you familiar with the term high-velocity impact spatter?
Not really.
You even know what that is?
No, I'm not a blood spatter expert.
Would you think that you could have blood spatter without blood?
Prosecutor Goud again objects, and Judge Newman again sustains the objection. Philip Barber then concludes his cross-examination of Agent Zapata. Savannah Goud rises for a brief redirect of the witness.
When you analyze something, do you try to be thorough in your analysis?
Yes, I do.
And are you aware that before you analyzed this shirt, that there were presumptive positives for blood?
Yes.
And then when you analyzed the shirt with the Hematrace, what were your findings?
The Hematrace results were negative.
The defense also asked you about touch DNA. When you analyzed those cases and shot shells that were found at the scene, what were you analyzing those items for?
For item 7.1, the request was for touch DNA analysis. For items 9 and 10, the request was also for touch DNA analysis, but because there was staining on the swabs when Rachel Wynn did her processing, she presumptively tested those swabs, and they were presumptively positive for blood, and so they were forwarded for DNA analysis.
But for touch DNA on items like that, would you be looking for possibly whoever loaded those items into a gun?
Defense Attorney Barber objects on the grounds that the prosecutor is leading the witness, and Judge Newman sustains the objection. Prosecutor Goud rephrases the question.
Whose other DNA could you be looking for when you're analyzing those cases for DNA?
Typically when cartridge cases or shotgun shells are submitted for touch DNA, we are looking for DNA of an individual who may have handled those cartridge cases or shotgun shells.
And is it common to find touch DNA on fired cases or shot shells?
In my experience, there's not been a very good yield of DNA on those items. From my understanding, when a bullet is fired, it is being put through a lot of intense heat as it's moving through firearm. At least that's how firearms analysts seem to explain the process. And so the heat can affect the recovery of DNA from that item.
And also with touch DNA, do you know when touch DNA gets somewhere?
No, I can never say how or when DNA was deposited on an item.
So if I shook somebody's hand at some point in the day, could I have their DNA on my hand?
It's possible, yes.
And you wouldn't know when that got there?
No.
Now, do you determine what evidence is analyzed in a case? Do you look at all the evidence and pick and choose what you're going to analyze?
No, we are requested to analyze items of evidence.
So some requests for you to analyze it?
Correct.
Whoever requested for you to analyze the clothes of Maggie and Paul Murdoch?
I was never requested to analyze those items.
And do you analyze items that you've not been requested to analyze?
No.
Thank you.
With that, Prosecutor Goud concludes her redirect examination of the witness. Philip Barber again rises for a very brief recross of Agent Zapata.
You're asked about touch DNA. If an object is found actually touching a deceased person, would it be uncommon to find that deceased person's touch DNA on that object?
No.
And would it be uncommon to find a wife's touch DNA on a husband's shirt?
It would not be uncommon, no.
No further questions.
Step down. And ladies and gentlemen, you can go to the jury room for a break. Please do not discuss the case.
With that, we bring to a close this episode of Jury Duty, the trial of Alex Murdoch. Please join us on our next installment as we begin our review of the testimony of forensic pathologist Ellen Reimer. Also, check out the Ambie-nominated crime story podcast Night Raid, wherever you get your podcasts. And if you would like to listen to these episodes early and ad-free, head over to our Jury Duty Crime Story Patreon page.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
You can find more information about this trial on our Jury Duty Crime Story Patreon page or at crimestory.com. Jury Duty is created and produced by Carrie Antholis. It was co-produced, written, and edited by yours truly, Chris Terracone. Music for this episode was provided by Strike Audio. Trial audio is courtesy of Law & Crime Networks. Thank you for joining us, and we hope you will come back for the next episode of Jury Duty.